I was recently in Texas. I just got back from Texas at the ATA event, the Association of Texas Appraisers. And if you're not a member and you're in Texas, you should be. They provide excellent opportunities for networking and learning. And they had a great event down there. Peter Christensen was speaking. Dave Button was there. Jim Park was there. Josh Wallet was there. A lot of practicing appraisers were at the ATA event. I saw some very familiar faces and met some new people. And a couple of folks I met, I found pretty interesting. They came up to me and we had a conversation. And they were brothers. And they're appraisers. They're appraiser brothers. And what's interesting is that a lot of us as appraisers have gotten into the business as a consequence of knowing a family member, right? Your dad was an appraiser, your uncle, someone. And that was not the case for me. I have no relatives in the appraisal space whatsoever. I kind of fell into it. But these two brothers, they're kind of interesting fellas, and I wanted to continue the conversation. So come back with me, and you get to meet the appraisal brothers today on my program. Hi, this is Brian Reynolds. You're listening to the Appraisal Update Podcast, brought to you as always by the great folks over at Appraiser eLearning. You need some education? Check us out at appraisereLearning.com. We've got virtual Zoom classes going on every week now. We've got online courses, and yes, we brought back the roadshow, so you never know when we might be in a city near you. In fact, if you'd like for us to come visit you live and in person, reach out to a member of our team and we can see if we can make that happen. But without further delay, I'd like to bring on the brothers that I'm talking about. I'd like to welcome to the program Victor and Joshua Cornell. Welcome, guys. Glad you're joining me today.
Happy to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. So I don't know which one of you came up and grabbed me, but one of you said, Josh, yeah, you came up and grabbed me and wanted a picture, and then I wanted a picture, and we all got pictures. And you guys were telling me a little bit about yourself. So why don't one of you tell my listeners and or viewers a little bit about the Appraisal Brothers?
Yeah, so you know, overall, we are the Appraisal Brothers. Our firm has been active for about a year now. And we grew up in Houston, Texas. And for college and grad school, we studied in California. That's while we were in California throughout college. I got my real estate license, so that's how I got introduced into real estate. And I was maintaining college and real estate. But during grad school, I had an opportunity in property management. I had a role as housing director. And while I was maintaining the two, it was a good career, but the way I got introduced to appraising was actually through my brother.
Yeah, so for me, you know, unlike a lot of people my age, I was actually very interested in the valuation industry. And that kind of stemmed from our father. He was a real estate broker in Houston. So he used to communicate a lot with appraisers, and he always had that in the back of my mind that, you know, this is a good career if you ever think about it. And so I did. And from there, you know, out of college, I decided to look for a trainee position. I did, and I did that for about a year. After that, I decided to join the assessor's office here at the DCAD. And that really helped seeing kind of like what we were hearing at the ATA event, where our data comes from, what mass appraising is. So definitely some cool stuff learning there.
Well, that's interesting. So let me make sure I understand this. Victor, did you get your real estate license? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, I did get my real estate license when I was in California.
So you got your real estate license. You were in some property management stuff. Joshua, you just kind of went right for appraising, right? You got into the assessor's office. Your dad, you guys' dad was a broker in the real estate space, not in appraising, but in real estate. So you kind of knew what an appraiser was through your father. But you jumped over to the assessor's office. Joshua, how long were you in the assessor's office, and what were your responsibilities working for the Texas assessor?
Yeah, so at DCAT, I was a class one appraiser. So from there, that entailed a lot of handling the protests that come in. As you can imagine, in Texas, we get a lot of those. So also getting the data that all of us appraisers in Texas, we rely on heavily, given that we are a non-disclosure state. So that definitely helped seeing what data we're using, what to use, what not to use. So it was a great experience.
And then Victor, you saw what your brother was doing and you kind of changed gears, right? What prompted you to move over to the space with Josh?
While I was studying in grad school, going more into the legal background, originally I wanted to go the attorney path, but always revolving around real estate. And when I started hearing the type of stuff that he was going to start as a trainee, the valuation aspect really interested me, especially when it got more closely in regards to the report, reading all the analysis of it. I thought it was a good transition from going to trying to pursue a lawyer into appraising.
Okay. All right. So you guys got through the trainee model. You're both Texas licensed appraisers, correct?
So I'm a Texas licensed appraiser, and my brother's currently a trainee right now.
Okay,
He was.
gotcha. So you kind of passed him up. Come on, Josh, what's happening? You let the brother, he must be the big brother, is that right? Victor, you're the big brother? I got it figured out. You just felt like you need to let the big brother, blaze the trail, it sounds like. All right. So Victor, you're a licensed appraiser. Josh, you're still a trainee, but you're both gearing up to take your certified res exam. Is that right?
That is correct.
Next
Okay.
week.
Okay. Well, congratulations. Much luck on that. Get plenty of sleep the night before, right? Eat breakfast like you did today. Answer all the questions, read the question, read their question, read the question. Don't tell anybody you're about to take an exam. Oops, too late. You've done that. You've just told the world. Don't tell
We'll keep
anybody
you guys.
else. We'll keep your secret. And then simple thing, and really all these test taking tips really can make a difference, believe it or not. When you read a question, you have typically four multiple choice answers. Normally you can whittle it down to one of two, right? So you got a 50-50 chance. Be sure you answer those. And normally your first instinct is the correct answer. I cannot tell you how many tests I've graded where the candidate had the correct answer circled. They second guess themselves, they go back and erase it and circle the wrong answer. So I'm not telling you not to ever change an answer, but make sure you feel really, really, really good about changing that, because I've graded so many tests that they had the right answer until they erased it and circled the wrong answer, which is, oh, that's so disheartening. Well, good luck. I think you guys will do well. It sounds like you're going to do well. So let's talk a little bit about your company, because now you guys are in business for yourself, is my understanding. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
So tell me a little bit about your company, where you're located, who your clients are, what area of practice are you focusing on?
Yes, of course. So, license wise, I became licensed in February, which, as funny as it may sound, it's the from what I hear in the forums, it's the worst time to be an appraiser, especially licensed. There's a lot of rhetoric about that before I actually got my license. So I already knew what I was gonna jump into, But well, we went back to the drawing board as soon as it became licensed, and we were like, how are we gonna approach this? And what we did was, a lot of those simple strategies work. So meaning like as soon as you become licensed, we started enrolling to all these AMCs. We made sure to update them daily, call them. Ask them if there's any orders they need help with. And we were doing that consistently for weeks. My brother left CAD to, so we can start Appraisal Brothers together. And while we were doing that, I'd say for the first month it was slow, but then our fruits of our labor, we started getting orders. And after people saw how we were turning in reports frequently, the quality of the reports, we started getting more business. And now AMC work, we keep ourselves busy each week. And the other avenue was towards the first 3 months, was just purely AMC work, but then we just knew we had to tap into private work, and we have found success in that as well.
So talk about that a little bit. Josh, what kind of private work do you do, and how do you secure that private work? How do people know that you're out there as an option for an appraisal?
Yeah, so we take a lot of different approaches. We definitely hear what other appraisers have to say, whether it's keeping your website up to date. And we also do different things, such as, you know, we're trying to build a social media gathering, and we try to, you know, show folks what the appraisal industry is. And there's not really one set way on how we've gathered some of the private work. It really comes from all different avenues, and we've found some success in that. And some of it can even be, for example, tax protests. The CAD recommends that they get an appraisal if they're so sure about their value. And so they call us up.
Very good. Very good. What would you say, Victor, is your, you know, is your distribution of service? Or are you kind of 50-50 AMC private work? Or where does the majority of your work come from?
Yeah, I'd say overall we're at 80% AMC weekly and 20% private work.
Okay. And what does that, you know, Josh mentioned tax appeal work, you know, you're doing appraisals for that, but give my listeners a few additional examples of the type of private work you're doing.
Yeah, so one of the common types of private work is, as you mentioned, for tax purposes. They want the market value of the house, but other types of work that we do consistently is home measurement services. That's been something that has stood out. Not many people are aware appraisers do something like that, and we actually found that out through networking. We were telling a lot of agents the type of services that we offer. So I'd say those are the two most consistent type of appraisals, but we have gotten appraisals from whether it's a retrospective appraisal to, you know, other types as litigation purposes too, not to get to an expert witness point, but write a report where both lawyers are able to review it and give them market value without any legal proceedings.
Yeah. So what's next for you guys? It sounds like you're taking over the world here, right? You're not even certified yet. So hopefully you both become certified in short order. You're saying your test is right around the corner. So let's say that those both go very successful. You become certified residential appraisers. Where do you go from here? What's the next step?
Yeah, honestly, it's really just becoming an expert at our craft. We've always been of the mindset that whatever we do, especially if we do it together, we really are going to try to be the best at it. So whether that means going to these events, such as meeting awesome people like you, Joshua Wallet, definitely helps out with getting those connections. And we've learned that appraisers definitely love talking about appraising, and that's definitely helped. And we love showing that to other people, such as agents as well.
Yeah, it's so funny. We were, it's been hot in Texas.
Oh, yeah. Is that
fair? So I was down there and it was hot, and I know a big group of folks went out and went to dinner, and I chose not to go. My friend Wade had went across the street to the restaurant, and there were just a handful of folks there. He said, there, I think three guys and one lady with him. And he said, you come by here. And I thought, well, I'll go by there, and if I'm feeling okay, maybe I'll go to the event. If not, I'll just go with literally walking out that hotel just to walk across the street. That heat and humidity hit me. I'm not going anywhere but right through that door. And so I sat down with Wade, next to Wade in a booth. There were, you know, three on that side, now three of us on this side. And he said, don't worry, Brian, I've already told him, don't talk about appraising. Brian's inundated. They talk about it 24/7. Just don't, you know. And guys, Victor, Josh, I would say it lasted, you know, 30 to 45 minutes. People were talking about their dogs and the, you know, and then boom, appraising came up. And I think I was the one that started it, in fact. But it's inevitable. You know, we've got that in our blood. That's what we are, appraisers. We're valuation specialists. And that's that's kind of what we talk about. So did you guys stay for the, you were there for the second day as well? I had to bounce out that. Okay. And so you got to see Josh's presentation. What was a takeaway from really any of the presentations? What did you find interesting or maybe that you could use in your practice from either day of attending that great event?
Yeah. So one of the classes I really enjoyed was the one with Rudy Robinson, the expert witness class, because, you know, there's a lot in regards to mentality that is a strong type of skill to have as an appraiser. It's important to know your worth and what it takes to get to that point. So as funny as it may sound, after that class, towards the end of the day, an appraiser came up to us. And, you know, it was a very random situation because we were just getting ready to leave and we had never met this appraiser. And he had chimed in on the class and he had said, "Hey, you two are brothers." And we're like, "Yeah, we're brothers." And he's like, "I got some advice for you guys." He said, "As you guys are working in your business, make sure to tolerate what you guys communicate, how you work as a business. If you get upset at the other brother, try to be okay with you know, the situation and try to see how there's common ground." And he said, "If you can handle that as a business together, as brothers, and work efficiently, then you guys would be great expert witnesses," he said. So it was a good wake-up call, just hearing that piece of advice of someone I never met. And it really helped us, you know, just knowing that we're on the right track. And it was a good experience.
Yeah, that's great. That's really great. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to come right back to you two. I'm not letting you go yet. You know, since 1978, LIA Administrators and Insurance Services has been offering E&O coverage to valuation professionals. LIA applies superior customer service, exceptional liability education, and unparalleled claim defense to serve over 10,000 real estate professionals. That's a lot of real estate professionals, 10,000 nationwide, just like you and I. They offer commercial bonds, general liability coverage, and so much more. Check them out at liability.com and see what they can do for you and your business. Thank you, LIA Administrators and Insurance, for your continued support of the Appraisal Update podcast. And by the way, if you're listening in, you can view the brothers. We have our YouTube channel. Just jump on YouTube and search Appraisery Learning, and you'll find our YouTube channel. Subscribe to that to stay in the know. If you're watching us on YouTube, hello. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button because you never know when we will have a breaking news report. We just had one on that Rapatoni MLS, and there may be another one coming really, really soon. So go ahead and hit the subscribe button. You'll stay in the know, and you'll be aware if we have any special broadcasts. The Appraisal Update podcast normally comes out once a week, generally on a Tuesday, but you never know when we may have a special edition drop. So, guys, you mentioned Rudy Robinson earlier. Rudy, man, he did a great job. Rudy was on my podcast several weeks ago, did a fantastic job. He's an interesting fella, gave some really, really, really great ideas and suggestions pertaining to depositions, if you're ever deposed, expert witness testimony. He suggested that you have an engagement letter. Very knowledgeable, experienced guy that's worked on a ton of different projects all across the country. And I think internationally, didn't he say he did some international stuff? I think
here international. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So just an interesting guy. Do you think that's something that you guys might be interested in long-term is either doing some condemnation work or stigmatized property, or are you comfortable just appraising the houses you're pretty new in this game. I get it, but it sounds like you guys are really looking at the long road here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and part of that comes with talking to the appraisers, knowing what we're getting ourselves into. So, you know, through the research that we've been seeing, through the courses that we've been seeing, we're definitely really open to the, you know, more complex assignments that we'll definitely, you know, do more research on before accepting just blindly. But those are definitely some things that, like I said, you know, we really want to strive the best to, you know, be the experts that we know we can be. So we'll do that through research.
And yeah. Disguise, we're open to, you know, hearing about commercial appraising and, you know, just talking to certified generals. they said it's really hard to partner up with a certified general too, just through forums and stuff. And just going to the ATA conference, we met three certified generals that, you know, they were willing to train. And we're like, yeah, through networking, you're able to find these opportunities. They are out there.
So what would you say to, let's say, a trainee or someone that wants to become a trainee, and they're either listening or watching you guys right now? And let's face it, you know, business has slowed down. I mean, I had a former employee just come by today wanting her job back. And I said, go in there and look at the board right now. It's pretty scarce, right? So we're struggling as well. But what would you say to somebody that is either thinking about getting into appraising, or maybe they've already bitten the bullet and taken some of their classes? Maybe they are just trying to get that supervisor, and now they're having some limiting beliefs. They're having, you know, some discouraging thoughts about, is this what I should do, or should I turn around and run the other way? What would you say to somebody like that?
Yeah, well, me personally, I would say that, you know, if this is something that you think that you would be passionate about, pursue your passion just like in any other career. You know, if you never put yourself out in those uncomfortable positions, then you'll never know the outcome of it. But also another thing to think about, like if right now is the hardest time for appraisers since, you know, the recession, if you're able to at least get some momentum right now, then you'll do perfectly fine in the future when things eventually take a turn.
Love it. Victor, anything to expand on there?
Yeah, so overall, I think that, you know, it's when business is slow, you just got to understand the situation. And like something that we assessed with my brother and I, we were like, for the first 6 months, just like treat it like a business, because after all, it is a business. So we had a mentality that for the first 6 months, you know, it's a startup. Are we prepared enough for my brother to leave the Central Appraisal District and us for 6 months to try to get at least one order? And we tried, we cultivated, we networked, we met appraisers. Just through networking, I think I've learned a lot more than I spent a year as a trainee through different ways of lead generation. Because before, my supervisor has instilled in my brain, AMC work. And through talking to other appraisers, we're like, there is work out there. So if someone is willing to be okay with, you know, in a way instability, but keep on cultivating till something does happen, it will happen eventually. And the good thing about private work too, even if it's scarce as it is now, there is work out there. And that's not, some types of the assignments are not necessarily dependent on the market as well.
Yeah, that's an interesting statement, and it's so true. You know, I mean, we as appraisers, especially over probably the last decade, really haven't had to go out and fight for work that much. You know, you just kind of sit back and say, hey, I'm an appraiser, and work just falls in your lap. And that's not normal. I mean, it's been the normal for the last decade or so. There are appraisers that have never experienced a slowdown like this, and it's very foreign to them. There are appraisers that never really had to run a business. They've just, you know, been thrown all types of work, more than we can accommodate. And things are a little different now. You know, you got to kind of get out there and do your hustle, right? You got to get out there and shake the trees and make it happen. And it sounds like you guys are doing that. So congratulations to you. You guys going to be attending any other types of events? I know you went to ATA. Have you ever been to some of the big national conferences? And is that something on your radar?
Yeah, we definitely have plans. We're looking right now more into networking closer to the DFW market for this year. But next year we do have in our mind, we'll see you at AXE Conference and Summit, man. We're
looking forward. Great, great. Well, I hope to see you there. So in closing, what do you have to say? Let's shift gears. Instead of a newer appraiser thinking about getting in, what are you gonna say to the old guys out there like me, right? Somebody that's just a little grouchy right now. They're a little frustrated that work has slowed down. Do you have any words of wisdom to somebody like that? You guys seem like you're pretty optimistic fellas. What would you say to somebody that's just, you know, a little depressed right now because things are the way they are?
Yeah, well, as far as the depressed aspect, I can't really help them out with that. But as far as, you know, just everybody has adapted in this industry from what I've seen. I was watching your podcast that you guys released yesterday about the how FHA used to just be on one single paper. And
yeah.
Change is inevitable. I'm sure most people will adapt. And from what I'm seeing, especially with networking, most appraisers, you know, they just have that tough personality. But then after you, you know, peel a couple pages, then they're really open to the change.
Exactly.
Well, Victor, Joshua, thanks so much for being here. If somebody wants to reach out to the Appraisal Brothers, do you have an email account or a website you direct them to? How can somebody get a hold of Victor or Josh if they want to?
All right. So, yeah, they can definitely reach out to us via email at appraisalbrothers@gmail.com and also through the website. Our website is appraisalbrothers.com. Feel free to reach out. We'd be more than glad to give you guys advice of what we've experienced and glad to hear about your guys' experience as well.
Very good. Victor, Joshua, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Appraisal Update Podcast. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're staying safe. Hang in there. We're going to get through this. It's been a long road. You know, I talked to Kayla today and I said, gosh, nobody expected the interest rates to double, you know, in a year time. And we were hoping that the third quarter, the rates might start coming down or stabilize. We're hoping in the fourth quarter, maybe the first quarter of next year, who knows? But things go up and they go down. And they were down for a long, long time. They finally went up. But guess what? They're going to go back down. Maybe not back to where they were, but things will get better. There's no doubt about it. Until next time, I'm your host, Brian Reynolds. You've been listening to the Appraisal Update Podcast. Thank you for your support and happy appraising.
The Appraisal Update Podcast is brought to you by Appraiser eLearning.